We start hour number three. I am Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We have Bruce Arians on. We had Dave Roberts on. Next segment, Atlanta Braves third baseman Josh Donaldson will be by. Dana White is going to join us in the final segment of the program. So we've got a lot to get done this hour. 1-800-636-8686. I want to mention that the Kansas City Chiefs opened up their training camp yesterday. They had rookie report day. And as part of that, head coach Andy Reid met with the media for a few minutes. Now, this is Andy Reid's 21st training camp. He's running the show. He's done this before. Now, if you thought that he had lost any of his passion, any of his heat, any of his energy, then you don't know this guy. At 61, my man is still ready to put a paw in the ground and get after it.
I'm fired up, man. We go one-on-one right here. No, I'm excited. I love doing what I'm doing, right? We're all privileged, all of us here. I mean, we're one out of 32 in the whole world. It's a great experience for all of us.
That's the 1971 punt, pass, and kick legend, Andy Reid, challenging a reporter to go one-on-one if you need him. Notice how that reporter did not accept the challenge, because who the hell would want to step in front of Andy Reid if they didn't have to? You wouldn't. Not unless you want to get trucked and put in the ground. And you especially would not line it up on the opposite side of Andy Reid after hearing the kind of fuel that this guy's been taking in over the offseason. Because just one question later, another journo asked Andy Reid if he did anything fun or exotic over the summertime. And Reid's answer, like always, did not disappoint.
Try anything exotic or fun when you had your off time this year?
No, I wasn't too exotic.
You never know.
I attacked a couple Chili Rianos. Yeah, that's about. But that's about it. They were great. Yeah, no, they were great. But other than that, I just went. I went to California and I've got a place there and enjoyed it for a little bit. My grandkids.
I see you working. Quote: I attacked a couple of Chili Rianos. They were great. He said, "I've got a place in California." He does. We know this about Andy Reid. First off, I love how the dude uses the word attack. He didn't eat, he didn't consume, he didn't try, he didn't sample, he attacked a couple of Rianos.
I attacked a couple of Chili Rianos.
You know, like, my man murdered those things. It was an absolute house job, a total annihilation.
I attacked a couple of Chili Rianos.
For those of you who don't know, that's a Mexican dish that consists of a roasted pepper stuffed with melted cheese and your choice of meat. It's damn good. You know, like all Mexican food. I'd attack a few right now if I could. Now, what makes the exchange especially interesting to me is that Andy Reid said that that attack, that murdering, took place in California during the offseason. So if he was in California in the offseason and he was having some Mexican food in California, I think most of you know where that probably went down. Most of you know that I bumped into the big guy at Javier's in Crystal Cove not that long ago. And I'm on record as saying it was one of my favorite encounters ever.
I love the place. I mean, I love it. And you said it. There, you always see people in there that you don't expect to see. I was as excited to see you as you were me. So, I mean, we haven't talked in a long time. And we used to talk all the time and for no reason other than I moved back to Kansas City here and it was kind of a new start. But it was great to see you and your family's phenomenal. I mean, you had a load there now. People don't realize that table, that was a long table you had. You have a beautiful wife and Janet. Your son, he was beaming, man, 17 years old. It doesn't get any better. Living in California, eating at Javier's, 17-year birthday, and I mean, come on. How much better does it get?
My man, not at all. The only part of that answer that I did not absolutely love was the lie that he told at the top of it when he said that he was even happier to see me than I was him. That's a lie. Name-checking Janet, talking about the family. It's so amazing. So, going back to the other point, Could it be that my man was attacking those Rianos?
I attacked a couple Chili Rianos.
At Javier's. Could it be? I mean, that's a possibility now. Sure enough, that dish is on the menu at Javier's. And if Andy Reid was getting them at Javier's, then they probably were coming as part of a combination with an enchilada and a crispy taco. The idea of Andy Reid talking about a dish from Javier's yesterday at training camp got me fired up. Now, he didn't say it was at Javier's. I'm just making the assumption. But then again, that does depress the hell out of me. Now, my man does move pretty quietly when he comes to Cali. I know this. I know he's got a house out here. I know he spends some time out here when he can, but he stays off the radar. I know this. I just happened to run into him that night. Nobody tipped me off. I happened to be there because, well, Javier's. But I can't lie to you. I'm not going to go, to use a phrase, stalking him, even though I've got a pretty good idea when, what time of year he might be around those parts. But if bumping into the big fella once was awesome, bumping into him twice would have been the best thing ever, especially if he's attacking plates of
Chili Rianos.
So good. If he was getting at it, it had to have been at Javier's. Andy Reid talking to reporters about food does have precedence now. It was back in March of 2018. A blogger for SB Nation ran into Reid at the airport, and their conversation ended up with Reid disclosing his recipe for six cheese mac and cheese, which he said he makes every Thanksgiving. He also showed the reporter, quote, an unfathomable amount of recipes that he keeps on his phone. It's just so good. I love him rolling around using all the storage space on his blower, not for plays, not for the playbook, not for schemes, but for recipes. And I love him breaking it out and showing it to a reporter at an airport. Just as I love the idea of his idea of doing something exotic over the offseason was attacking a couple of Chili Rianos.
I attacked a couple of Chili Rianos.
Hey, you get into something exotic, Coach? Hell yeah, I did. Rianos.
I attacked a couple Chili Rianos.
I murdered them. And Chili Rianos. I especially love, I need confirmation. I'm only speculating, but come on. He said it happened in California. That attack, that vicious attack and house job had to have happened at Javier's in Crystal Cove. Had to. I just hate that I was not there. Andy, my man, hit me up next time. Hit me up next time. I would love to tag team a few plates and a few Rianos.
I attacked a couple Chili Rianos.
Next year, Coach. Next year at our favorite spot. 1-800-636-8686. Also, I'm still getting your thoughts on Randall. In case you missed it, Randall, WFI in the OC, tragically passed yesterday, and we've been talking about Randall all show long, sharing our thoughts and our stories about Randall. Dear Rome, as somebody who rarely, if ever, contributes to the show, but follows closely on Twitter and elsewhere, I first thought Randall was a bit weird or odd. Over the past 2 years or so, I would follow along with JTP on Twitter, and it changed my view 100%. I never saw a picture of that guy not smiling. And just seemed like a genuine person and a connector of people. It's a huge loss for every part of the Jungle family. We will miss the laughs and the positive energy. Thanks. Jeff in C-Town. Rome, I did not know Randall, but as a longtime clone, I am very familiar with his contributions to the show. It's good to see the Clone Nation come together to remember Randall in such a positive way. Hopefully one day in the not-too-distant future, his wife and maybe his daughter will be able to read through the long list of tweets that are being sent and smile at how highly regarded and loved he was by a group of folks, most of whom never even met him. Rest in peace, Randall. You'll be missed. Dan in Richmond. Rome, I can't say anything else about Randall that hasn't already been said. But the fact that I'm this sad and quite frankly pissed about the passing of somebody I never even met says a lot. There are so many things about this show that make me laugh, but you yelling, no, back and forth with Randall's, yeah, cracked me up every freaking time. Rest in peace, Randall. The jungle lost a legend. Lee in Vancouver. Let me go back and finish a call that I started that I couldn't finish because Dave Roberts came on. Matt in L.A., I had to cut off, but I bring him back right now. Sorry about that, Matt. Good to have you back.
Romy, from the O.C. to the pearly gates of paradise, I want to thank you, Randall, because he was, like you say, Romy, I mean, you've put together a community, and there's some real jewels in this community, man. Randall was at the top of the list. I mean, I got to meet this guy for 2 hours of my life, and I feel blessed for it. Like you say, he was just a connector of people. I mean, Silk Bra and this guy were like two of a kind. I mean, these guys were so, are so genuine in Silk's case, and Randall, rest in peace. But I mean, what I've noticed is like from the whole Clone Nation, and this is a tribute to you, Jim Rome, of the jungle. I mean, everybody shows a genuine love, man. We might smack each other on the radio waves or on Twitter, but when we get together, man, it, you know, the few times that I've been together with clones and met up with them, they're real fools, real people. You know, I say fools because I'm from the street. Real people, man, that are real men, real women, that are just genuine people that got nothing but love for the jungle, for you, and for everybody they encounter. And that's all I wanted to say, Jim. Rack Randall, man. Deca, yeah. Yeah!
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you. Appreciate your thoughts. Got Josh Donaldson coming up next segment. Dana White a little bit later on. Adam Hawk brings in a couple of emails quickly. Vic in NoCal wants to weigh in. Rome, condolences to Randall's family. I got to meet Randall twice. First at Del Mar in 2016, the day of his now legendary, yeah, soundbite. It was an early gathering since we all arrived at about 8 a.m. ahead of the day's show. So we were all still in AM mode, but Randall took it upon himself to personally make sure that everybody was adequately, lubricated with beverages so we could be all that we can be. More recently, I hung out with him at Hennessy's in Dana Point just a mere 5 weeks ago. We talked about catching the Bears and the Broncos in week 3. Dude must have hugged me and kissed me on the cheek at least 5 times. During that get-together. And I wasn't the only one that he was doing it to either. A fun-loving, friendly guy, full of life and upbeat energy. We won't forget him. Victor, wait for it, by Broadway. And one more quickly. Blaze is in. Jim, back in the early days of the show, one of the things that appealed to me was the fact that you said the name of the person who sent emails. It may seem like a minor thing, but other shows weren't doing that. In fact, many still don't. The host will say, got an email here. But you read the names, and because of that, emailers develop personalities, and you felt like you knew the people. I spent every day listening, firing off emails, and laughing at emails other people sent. Laughing in my cube because of guys like Randall. The show was, and is, like a club. It's one of the things that has set it apart from the beginning. So when someone like Randall passes away, it's felt by the rest of us. Randall, if you're listening, you made me laugh my ass off in my cube. Rest in peace, brother. Blaze. All right, when we come back, Josh Donaldson and then Dana White are scheduled. If you want, you can continue to tweet and email the program. Thinking about Randall today and his family and everybody who loved him. Stay tuned. Josh Donaldson of the Braves is next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, UFC president. Dana White coming up next segment. But right now we're joined by a third baseman for the Atlanta Braves, 2015 AL MVP, a Hank Aaron Award winner, a three-time All-Star, a two-time Silver Slugger, had a couple of hits and a couple of runs batted in last night against Kansas City. Atlanta is in first in the NL East. He's also going to host the Josh Donaldson 2019 Celebrity Baseball Tournament. It's August 29th. We'll get into that. Josh Donaldson is my guest. Josh, good to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Josh, it's been a minute since you and I have spoken, so let's catch up for a moment. How is life, and how are you enjoying things with the Atlanta Braves?
Yeah, it's great. It's a great team to be a part of. Lots of exciting players on our team to watch and to follow. And, it's been one of those things to where for me to be able to get back home or near home, and play in front of a lot of family, friends, day in and day out has been pretty exciting for me as well.
You know, I was going to say, going to Atlanta meant that you get to go back south and be closer to home. It's not for everybody, Josh, as you know. In fact, it can be a burden for some guys. You touched on it. What's it been like for you?
Yeah, I've kind of felt that way for my career. I was kind of happy to be on the West Coast and then in the North to start my career just because it can be tough at times. But, you know, I signed very early this offseason, and I was able to kind of get ahead of, you know, just the issues that may cause and to have people that are my support system that help me to take care of that on a daily basis. And, you know, so far it's been going really well, and our team's been very successful. And, you know, it makes it very easy to come to the park every day and look forward to going out there and playing and winning games.
We're talking to Braves third baseman Josh Donaldson. You know, to that point that you signed early in the offseason, obviously you had done your research and you took a look at what you could bring to the team defensively, offensively, the lineup, et cetera. What was it that you saw in Atlanta that excited you the most that made you feel like that was such a good opportunity?
Well, I mean, I think first is, you know, you had a guy like Freddie Freeman who is a staple in that lineup who's been, you know, probably one of the top 10 to 15 hitters in baseball. And then, you know, you look at the young core around of the Acuna, the Albies, the Dansby Swanson, you know, just how much the pitching, the young guys in our pitching staff that could really do a great job at some point. And, they, you know, they were still maturing, but I felt like there was a great opportunity for all of us. And then I knew the dynamic that I brought to the team and that could help out and continue to develop this team to become better and to win a lot of games as we have so far this year. And I just felt like it was a perfect fit, you know, having Alex and then having a lot of my former training staff that was with me in Toronto just really made it that much easier for me to pull the to make the decision.
Josh Donaldson is joining us. You know, you go back to that young talent that you spoke of. It's a team that's absolutely loaded, and you've got a bunch of talent that's really young. So, Josh, when you see guys like Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies and the others and what they're doing at such a young age, what do you think?
I mean, it's pretty incredible, you know, to look back where I was at when I was 20, 21, 22 years old and to see how far they are. I think there's a lot of reasons why that is. And, you know, I think one of it is the availability of being able to watch swings and to be able to watch guys perform more often than when I was a kid growing up. You know, all we had, the social media platform really wasn't there. And to be able to see guys' swings in slow motion, to be able to try to replicate that, I think has helped tremendously. I mean, you just see a lot of young guys in the league now that, you know, I feel like are ahead of where a lot of younger guys were at when, you know, I was coming up and even before that. And it's pretty remarkable. And the biggest thing that I'm probably jealous of about all of it is how fast they can run and how fast those legs move on a daily basis.
It's funny, you know, especially that part about hitting, though. That's that's the Josh Donaldson I know. You and I, I've always enjoyed talking to you about your approach to hitting. So, I mean, obviously they've got some tools that maybe you didn't have coming up, but how much of hitting is an art form and how much of it is a science?
I think the art is the science, right? I think that everybody has their own way of going about it and way of approaching it. But there is scientific numbers that are backing this up now and backing up what you do well and what you maybe you don't do as well. You know, there's hard data to be able to look at. And for me, like this year, when I got off to a little bit of a slow start at the beginning of the year, and to be able to have confidence in yourself becomes a little bit easier at times because I can go look at, you know, exit velocities, the trajectory of the ball coming off the bat, seeing all this stuff and know that I'm still doing well. I'm hitting the ball hard. It's just not, I'm not getting the luck factor in there at the moment. And I know that that's going to change at some point. And so it's good to kind of have that, but not to just be all consumed with it. I'm not about that either.
Now, you're hosting the Josh Donaldson 2019 Celebrity Base Bowl Tournament. It's August 29th in Marietta. It's going to benefit the Josh Donaldson Foundation. First of all, if you want more information, I've got a phone number. You should dial this number right now or in a moment, 310-525-3755, 310-525-3755. First off, Josh, how are you as a bowler?
I would say I'm very average. It's not something that I excel at. But there are times when I get lucky and I, you know, I'll have a good game here and there, but it's fun. I've done in Toronto, we did a bowling event for 3 years while I was there. This is the first year in Atlanta. And it's just what I liked about it so much is it's more of an intimate setting to where you can really get to talk and be around the sponsors and people that, you know, are trying to support the foundation. And this is the first year that I'll have my own foundation, which is going to support single parent children that are looking to play sports and different type of activities. You know, coming up, I was raised in a single parent home. So that's what's definitely hits home for me. And we're also going to pair up with the Atlanta Braves charities to give back to them as well. And it's going to be held August 29th, and it's going to be at the Bolero Marietta. And the sponsorships are available from and this is to get a lane at the bowling alley. It's going to be from $3,500 to $25,000, depending on where you want to be at. And it's going to be a great opportunity to see a lot of the Atlanta Braves players, and you're going to have some broadcasters there as well. And you're going to also be able to, you know, donate to a great cause that is going to give back to, you know, children that are in need of, you know, mentors and a way to get access to playing in some sports and to some equipment and gear, et cetera.
Well done. A third baseman for the Atlanta Braves, a 2015 AL MVP, and he's hosting the Josh Donaldson 2019 Celebrity Base Bowl Tournament. And again, August 29th in Marietta. Josh, great to get caught up. Appreciate you and good to have you back on the show. Good luck with the event.
Hey, Rome, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Take care. Josh, good talking to you. It's been a minute or two. All right, my thanks to Josh Donaldson. When we come back, one more segment. We're efforting Dana White, the rare four interview day. Been a tough day. A lot of time to talk about Randall. Wait for it in the OC. All right, time now for a sports update. Here you go. ATP Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts with our better parts and better prices every day. Going to have Dana White on momentarily. UFC 239 was an all-timer. And they turn around and they're going to go right to UFC 240. We are joined by the UFC president, UFC 240, Holloway v. Edgar, Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, pay-per-view. UFC Fight Night on ESPN, Covington v. Lawler. That's August 3rd, live from Newark. We will get into all that right now with Dana White. Good to have you back. Dana, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. So, Dana, before we get into UFC 240 and Fight Night, after that, I've got to go back and ask you about UFC 239. There have been some amazing nights in UFC history over the years, but where does UFC 239, which included the Masvidal knockout, the Nunes knockout, and the Jones-Santos battle, where would you rank that night?
It was a great night. I mean, I've been saying it. Fans have been saying it to me. Media has been saying it to me. Everybody's been saying it to me. We've been on an unbelievable roll with amazing fights. And, you know, that night was hyped up as one of the biggest fights of the year, and it delivered.
You know, Danny, you've been around combat sports for a long, long time. Obviously, you've seen every kind of knockout. Have you ever seen a knockout like the one that Masvidal put on Askren?
It was brilliant. You know, if you think about when he was preparing for that fight with Ben Askren, he knew he was going to shoot on him. So the way that he set up that knee, the way he landed the knee, I mean, everything about it was perfect, brilliant. And one of the coolest things you'll ever see in sports.
We're talking to Dana White. Now, Masvidal, Dana, was amazing in the cage. He's been a star with the media. Do you think that he got into Askren's head before the fight?
I don't know. You know, if Askren, he's the guy that likes to talk a lot and likes to try to get into the head. I don't know if he did or not. I think that he just predicted exactly what Ben Askren was going to do, timed it, worked on it, and executed it perfectly.
All right, so where does that leave Masvidal, and what does the future look like for him?
Well, Masvidal is one of the top three guys in the world right now. You got Usman, who's the champion, Woodley's number one, Colby Covington's number two, and Masvidal's number three. So it put him in a great position. His popularity's never been higher. That highlight reel will be watched forever. And let's see what he can do in the next year.
UFC President Dana White joining us once again. All right, so when you look at what Amanda Nunes has done to everybody she's faced in the last 4+ years and the way she's done it, is there any doubt in your mind that she is an absolute bona fide star now?
Absolutely a star. One of the best to ever do it, and the greatest female fighter ever.
What makes her so great? How is she so unique and so different? What sets her apart?
Well, when you think about, you know, the women's fighting become very popular. People love women, but women don't usually knock women out cold. And Amanda Nunes does that. And she doesn't just do it to, you know, this girl isn't fighting bumps. This girl's fighting the absolute best female fighters on earth and knocking them out.
Obviously, Danny, you know, you go back, and it was not something that you had a lot of interest in early on, but then you brought women into the sport. How important has that been for your business?
It's been incredible. It's one of the smartest things I've ever done. And, you know, the popularity of women's fighting just continues to grow.
We're talking about Dana White. Now, Dana, we get to the John Jones portion of the interview. How about that report earlier this week that he's facing a battery charge from an incident in a strip club back in April? What was your reaction when you heard that?
I'm kind of numb to it these days, you know. I'm kind of numb to it, John. Believe it or not, Jim, you got me speechless here. I actually don't even know what to say about it. It's just like it's almost to be expected.
Are you numb to it? I mean, were you pissed? Were you like, oh great? You throw your hands up? Or
yeah,
were you
just,
waiting?
I'm,
were you Dana? Or were you waiting for the Magic Man song to come in when I asked you that? Remember this? Fantastic,
yeah,
man.
I'm over being pissed. You know, every time John Jones fights, I think it might be his last fight because I just never know what's going to happen with John. You know, and then there's two sides to every story. The truth lays somewhere in the middle, and they both have a side of the story in this thing. And I don't know. We'll see how this thing plays out with him.
I was going to say, we'll see how it plays out. One last thought about him. How does he look to you right now as a fighter?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, look at the stuff that we're talking about every time we're on the phone, you and I, that we're talking about with John Jones. The things this guy's done, you know, the life he lives outside the octagon. The fact that this guy is able to come back and still, you know, this kid that he just fought, Thiago Santos, is an animal. You know, this kid is hungry. He's young. He's talented. He's well-rounded. And he wants what John Jones has. And John Jones stopped him from taking it. I mean, it really is unbelievable how talented John Jones is. And I say it all the time, and I'll probably be saying it for the rest of my life. It's sad to see what this guy could have accomplished. I think that John Jones could have been, you know, a Jordan-esque type figure for the sport.
Could have been, should have been. And when you mentioned Jordan, it makes me think of Uriah Faber. Before we talk about the card this weekend, quick thought about Uriah Faber. What did you make of the way he showed up at UFC Fight Night and dominated the way he did?
Incredible. So happy for the guy. And, you know, he did it against a real guy. We didn't, he's in his hometown, co-main event, coming back from retirement, and we give him a layup. We gave that kid a killer. And he knocked him out in the first round, looked unbelievable. And, you know, leading up to that fight, there was some negotiating going on with he and I. And I kept telling him, you're old. Listen, you're old. You retired for a reason, Uriah. You know you're old. I know you're old. You know, if you want to do this fight, let's do the fight. We'll do it to you. We respect you. You've been around forever. You're one of the all-time greats. You're a Hall of Famer. And he came out and proved me wrong. He looked great.
Never underestimate the pride of a champ. That's a great story. Dana White joining us. All right, so you're going to roll it right back, Dana, with Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar this Saturday night in Edmonton. It's a fight that nearly happened a couple of years back. How excited are you to see this live Saturday night?
Very excited. I leave tomorrow. Can't wait to get there. You know, every time both of these guys fight, it's fun. Max Holloway has one speed. He moves forward, and he breaks you down and eventually finishes you. And Frankie Edgar has the same style. Frankie Edgar does not stop. Continual movement, always throwing punches. His boxing has gotten so good over the years. You know, we all know how good his wrestling is. I expect this fight to be an absolute war and a dogfight.
All right, so in terms of Holloway, he's coming off his first loss in 6 years. What do you make of the way he responded to that loss? And what kind of a Max Holloway do you expect to see?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think that's going to be interesting in this fight, you know, coming off the loss that he did. I was surprised because I always call him, you know, I always say what a big featherweight he is. So I always thought he'd do really well at lightweight. Then he goes to lightweight, and he actually looked small. So there was an obvious huge size difference in that fight. And still, if you look at the way Holloway fought that fight against Poirier, he's a stud.
All right, so Dan, in terms of how fighters respond to losses, you never really know, right? Also on that card is Chris Cyborg, who's returning for the first time since she lost her belt to Amanda Nunes. How do you think that she's going to respond to that loss?
It's going to be interesting, too. Anytime you have these people that have gone on these long runs and don't know what it feels like to lose, don't know what it feels like, you know, to get beat, it's always interesting to see how they're going to respond in their next fight. And, you know, she's fighting Felicia Spencer, who is undefeated, 7-0, and it's a very interesting fight.
August 3rd, meantime, you've got Colby Covington taking on Robbie Lawler in Newark. That's on ESPN. When you look at the welterweight division and all the talent there is, how critical then is this fight?
Yeah, no, it's the big deal. Especially, you know, both of these guys, Lawler feels like he shouldn't have lost that fight to Askren. The ref made a mistake in the fight. He wasn't out, you know, in that choke that he was in. So this is a chance for him to get another fight with one of the top two guys in the world to prove that he still belongs in the top five. And for Colby Covington, obviously he's had a string of bad luck with the surgery that he needed, didn't take the fight with Woodley, and now all the other things that have gone on in the division. It's a big deal. It's going to set one of these two in the top five and set them up for big fights. And behind them, I mean, you got Masvidal, Leon Edwards, who just looked great, Dos Anjos, who's an absolute beast. That division is stacked right now.
So UFC 240 is coming up 10 p.m. Eastern pay-per-view Saturday night. Then you've got UFC Fight Night on ESPN. Dana, one last thought. You and I have talked boxing and fighting for years on this show, and you know the risks that are involved. I had Kevin Ioli on this show yesterday, and initially we were going to talk about Manny Pacquiao, and then that news broke about the passing of Maxim Dadashev following injuries he sustained in a fight on Friday night. As a boxing fan, Dana, what was your reaction when you heard that news?
Yeah, no, it's always, you know, God, I can't even explain the feeling, but it reverberates throughout the entire combat sports world when something like this happens, and it's so sad to see. And I'd like to say, you know, much respect to Buddy McGirt. I don't know if you've seen the video, but I'm actually going to post that today on social media too, with props to him and you know, begging him to stop the fight in that round. And you know, you could see the kid did not want to stop fighting. And it's cool to see somebody like Buddy McGirt in there, you know, looking out for his fighter.
Buddy McGirt's a Hall of Famer. I have seen that video. Dana, I know exactly what you're talking about. Dana White, UFC president, UFC 240 coming up on Saturday night, and UFC Fight Night on ESPN. Dana, great to have you back. Always appreciate your thoughts.
Likewise, my friend. Have a good day.
You too, Dana. Have a great week. Dana White, as always, joining us on the program. Before we wrap things up, I think I could probably take a phone call. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Lake Elsinore quickly. John in Lake Elsinore. Hi, John. How are you?
How you doing, Jim?
Good, good. John, how are you?
Doing okay. Hanging in there. Trying to do the best with this whole situation.
John, can you? You told John. You told Adam. You're Randall's brother. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm very sorry for your loss, John. I don't know if you've been listening today, but you could tell how much your brother meant to the entire Jungle community, the Jungle family. I hope you've heard some of this, if at all possible. There is so much love for Randall.
Yes, I recorded the whole show. The whole show, Jim. I mean, just overwhelmed with. The calls and the love for him, and it was very hard. I mean, I cried so much today. It was very hard listening to it all, but it was great to listen to it all. And I know my brother's smiling down. I mean, he was like, you guys all loved him, and he loved you guys back. And he was just, he has so many friends. He has so many, you know, everybody can see that when he at the get-togethers. You know, I've been actually, I've gone to like a couple of them, but he's gone to so many of them. Was it Big Wags, I think, was one of them that I went to with him once. And you guys know his personality and the way he is. He lives for today, and he lived it up. And he had a big heart, though. There's another part that people don't know about my brother, though. I mean, some people have, they mentioned his daughter and his wife, Crystal, but he had a big heart for his daughter. I mean, that's what breaks my heart the most. And, you know, she's 7 years old, and, you know, it's going to be hard, but, you know, as a family, we'll get through this. And we just lost our father a couple of months ago, too. I don't know if Adam brought that up, but it's been a tough year for the Majuli family, Randall. So, but we're going to get through this. But I just want to say thank you to you, Jim, for what you've done for him today on the show. And it was beautiful hearing everything and what everybody contributed.
Thank John, you. I am really, really sorry for your loss and your family's loss, John. But the Jungle is here, as you know. The Jungle loved your brother very much, loves your brother very much. And the Jungle certainly is here for you as a community and a family. So thank you very much. I'm really sorry for your loss, John, and Crystal, and Bella. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. My thanks to Bruce Arians, Dave Roberts, Josh Donaldson, Dana White. Jungle thoughts to Randall and his family. And we will see you right back here tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Have a good day. We're out.